Triplets, beautiful. It's beautiful music, folks. Amen, 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 amen. Which one was it that sang that last one? That's Abby, okay. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. And verse number 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Note carefully now, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, bless your word now as it goes forth. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing we've had already and the good spirit in this house. And we pray that we make welcome the Holy Ghost. God, we can't do anything without him. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this scripture. I'm sure you heard it many times. I've preached on it time and time again down through the years. But I'm going to tell you what, folks. I do believe personally this morning that there's never been a time where we need to understand what 1 Peter 5 is talking about than right now. As I said in Sunday school, people are apprehensive. They're on edge. They're not peaceful. They don't know that something is going to happen, they believe, and it may very well. So therefore, their peace and their joy has been taken away from them. They're watching. They're worrying. You're seeing things happen now, one after another, so quickly that you never expected to see anything like this. I heard a man say one time, about 20, 30 years ago, he lived through the Second World War. And he said, during wartime, he said, everything speeds up. And it does. Life speeds up during wartime. Things are happening in the newspaper. Every day there's a headline. There's something happening somewhere. Well, folks, we are in a war like we've never been in before. We are entering in to a war. There's a term, the winds of war. The winds of war have to do with the fact that you are able to see beforehand what's coming, and you can understand it. And so the apostle says, be vigilant and be sober. Be watchful. We have 3 weeks, just 3 short weeks before we elect a president of the United States of America. I hope you've done some praying about that. I want to read something for you that I think I was going to do it later, but I'm going to do it right now because I think it's going to set the tone for what I'm going to say to you this morning. This is from Janice Berry. God bless her soul. This is good. Here's what she sent. There were no balloons announcing it's a boy, no sounds of laughter, no tears of joy, no little ones marked 0 to 3, no warm blankets soft and fluffy. It was a little past 5 when a little boy was born alive. A botched abortion, an unwanted life. Because the doctor could do what he needed to do, the little guy had pushed his way through. About the same time his mother came to with me still holding the baby, the doctor nudged me from the room. We walked down the hall far enough from there, with me muzzling his cries so she couldn't hear. The doctor said, put him in here, as he held out a tub, so I placed him inside, and he was still covered in blood. Then I listened to the doctor tell her it all went well as planned. Then I confirmed it with a smile and pat on her hand. It was after 7 when she left to go home, not knowing her baby and a pat on her hand. It was after 7 when she left to go home, not knowing her baby was alive and alone. With medical attention, the baby would thrive, but protected by new law, we just let him die. With the lid on the bend, we could still hear his cries as we closed the door and turned out the lights. We went home like we always did, but if I could go back, he wouldn't be dead. And now memories of him fill me with regret, his little face forever stuck in my head. How I found him the very next day, his body once pink, now a shocking blue-gray. He looked so helpless in the cold plastic bed, his body covered in dried blood, his hair matted to his head. What haunts me the most was seeing him naked. He was giving nothing, not even a blanket. His eyes wide open seemed to stare right through me, which left me feeling cold and terribly empty. The fear on his face as he struggled to breathe, the doctor and I both pretended not to see. I'm not talking about a woman's choice. I'm talking about a little infant who didn't have a voice. I'm not talking about a woman's right, but a tiny human being of valuable life. I'm talking about an infant, not quite a day's old, and with big round eyes in his mother's nose, with 10 little fingers and 10 perfect toes, with a head full of hair that curled round his ears, and chubby little cheeks wet with tears. He was never given a name. He was never measured or weighed. He died sometime in the night, scared and alone and too weak to fight. This happens more often than they want you to know, and former employees will tell you it's so. If this doesn't bother you and you think it's okay, then keep doing what you've been doing and look the other way. I just hope I made you see it's not a woman's body. It's a completely separate being. But if you think life is more valuable than choice, then stand up and fight. Lift up your voice. Innocent blood has now covered this land, leaving us all with red stained hands, written by Shauna Normal. This is the liberalism when it's full grown, and one reason the left hates President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court. One of their biggest fears is things like this coming to an end. If you vote for Biden-Harris tickets, you're giving your stamp of approval to legalize murder of innocent babies. As Christian, there is no way you should be okay with this horrific behavior. And this happens every day in this country. I cannot stop them from killing babies, but I can sure let them know what I think about what they're doing and do everything possible within my power to get the word out and let people understand that we're killing babies, 60 million of them. Just understand, this is what's important. The same party that wants to go into power, that wants to keep the killing of babies legal, has for their presidential candidate one who says, it is not your right to know whether he's going to stack the Supreme Court. Think on that. Because you're dealing with somebody who is intentionally lying to you. Do you not underestimate your enemy? If you've ever had a real bout with Satan, you'll never forget it for the rest of your life. People sin, they sin all the time. James said if a man sins when he's led away by his own lust and enticed, sin therefore originates from the inside. And makes itself known in many, many, many manifestations. Sin is a problem. But the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. I'm glad for that. I'm thankful that God's given us a remedy. But my friend, we're not talking about sin here. There's sin associated. But I'm talking about a being. I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about the God of this world. I'm talking about one who can take you and literally tear you to pieces. I was reading the other day about the BTK killer. I mentioned him to the church, but I want to mention something else to you so you can understand the issues involved. The BTK killer grew up in high school, photographs of him in the annual. He looks just like all the other kids. You wouldn't pick him out and say, as a matter of fact, if you saw his photograph, really, he was a nice-looking young man. You'd say, well, this guy, he's going to prosper. He's going to make a good citizen. But the truth of the matter is that there was a darkness in his soul. He fantasized when he was young. Listen to me. He fantasized. He dreamed in his mind. The Bible talks about filthy dreamers. The unsaved live in a world of dreams. They're thinking about another man's wife. They're thinking about what they can do. They're thinking about how they might enjoy something else that's not legal or not right or that's sinful. They're constantly fantasizing in their mind. Problem is, once you fantasize in your mind enough, you begin to act out what's going on in your dream world that you live in, and that's what he did. He fantasized about death and suffering and sorrow and pain. He fantasized about it to the point where he began to get pleasure from it. Then he began to kill animals. He would cause animals to, he would hurt them, he would torture them. And then he would watch them die, and he, as it continued, he'd get more and more and more satisfaction from it, until the time came that he said within himself, I wonder how it would feel to choke a human being to death. And he acted upon that. And my friend, he started a killing spree in Wichita, Kansas. And that killing spree lasted for decades. And he killed 10 people, and he would bind them. He would torture them, and he would kill them. And when they tried him, they finally caught him and tried him. He showed absolutely no remorse. None. No conscience smitten. They say that that is a psychopath. That's a term that medical science has. They say a psychopath is one who cannot feel your pain, your sorrow, your hurt when he's hurting you. It doesn't mean anything to him. It's all about him. It's about how he feels. It's about the pleasure he gets from it. That's a psychopath. Well, that's what they say a psychopath is, but I go a little deeper than that. I'm not interested so much in what medical science says as I am the Word of God. The Bible said, give no place to the devil. And that's what happens when you give place to the devil. If you open your heart and allow him to take a hold, a root hold in your heart, then it'll grow from that point on. And that's what we're talking about here in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you'll remember in the Old Testament book of Job, when Satan appeared before God, the Lord said, where you been? He said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. He's constantly on the move. He doesn't stop. He doesn't slow down. And he doesn't rest. He's looking for his next victim. That's what Satan is doing here this morning. He's looking for his next victim. Listen to me. Listen carefully. A kid will buy a Ouija board, or they'll buy some kind of a magic thing, and then they'll play with the Ouija board, and first thing you know, they realize that there's something corresponding with them from that board. But the way the Ouija board works is they speak into that board. They speak. If you remember, the Lord told Moses, he said, don't strike that rock the second time. Speak to that rock. There is power in the words that come out of your mouth. Have you ever noticed that when you start talking about demons, they show up? Have you noticed how vain demonic forces are? They show up. Have you ever wondered why some people can go into a so-called haunted house, means nothing to them, walk in the door in the front, walk out the back, no big deal, but some people walk in there and they have this experience. The reason they do is because they're vulnerable. They've allowed themselves to become vulnerable. They have allowed themselves to open up their heart and begin to speak into this spirit world that will return to them. And when it does return to them, my dear friend, it won't be pretty. Amen. They speak. They speak about demons. They speak about their ghosts. They speak about their spiritual experiences and the power of this world that I'm talking about. And when they do, they open up a keg of worms. They open up a problem in their life. So what do? Preacher, you speak against it. That's what you do. When this spirit begins to move in your life, you've opened yourself up to Satan. If you feel something sinister coming into your heart, if you feel something that is drawing, sucking you away from God, it's a spirit. And here the Bible said in 1 Peter 5, it's Satan. Don't play with him. Don't mess with him. Don't try to outsmart him, man. Do not run from him. You can't run from him. You can't hide from him. If it were not for the power of Almighty God right now holding back the force of hell, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, you'd be amazed at what is unleashed upon this earth. You're already seeing the beginnings of it. You're seeing people march through the streets and they carry their signs and say, if Jesus came again, I'd kill him again. They're open. They're bold with it. They're in your face with it. And another sign says, if Mary had, if Mary should never have had her lamb, talking about the birth of Christ, and they're burning Bibles in the streets. What's happening, preacher? The culture is turning against the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? That means they become secular? No, they become demonic. Because there's a vacuum inside your soul for the spiritual. When that vacuum in your soul for the spiritual begins to hunger and reach out I'm going to tell you something. If you have rejected the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and God Almighty, then believe me, Satan will be right there to fill the void. And that's what's happening. You're working with people demon-possessed. You're living by neighbors that are demon-possessed. You're going to the churches with people that are demon-possessed. I have never in my life seen so much false religion as we have today that calls itself Christianity. 4 out of 10 people today in the churches say it's okay to live, to shack up is what we used to call it. We have 60% of the people today that say that it's all right. Anybody's religion, anything you believe, it's okay. We have everything under the sun in the church house today that calls itself Christian. Something like 60-70% of the people that go to church today deny the deity of Christ. Amen. Here's what's happening. As time progresses, the church is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But they're going to get closer and closer and closer. You're going to have a fellowship you never had before because you're going to have real brothers and sisters around you. That's what's going to happen. That is happening. I can see it right now. It's coming together. The reason for that is because He's gathering His bride together. He's gathering His saints together. He's gathering them together to take them together, to take them out of this world. Amen. The day is coming soon when we'll be gone from the world. We'll hear a shout. But the church in America will essentially go right on like nothing has happened. For the vast majority of them do not know the Lord. They don't have a clue who we're talking about today. The scripture says, He goeth about seeking whom He may devour, walketh to and fro. Let me explain something to you this morning. When you become vulnerable, when you become weak, when you become down, you're down spiritually, you're hurt. Let's say that you have lost your job. And notice carefully here that it has to do with God and His faithfulness. It has to do with verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But if Satan ever can get you to believe that God does not care for you, if he can get you to believe the lie in the book of Job where Satan said to the Lord, the only reason he serves you because of what you give him. If you can understand that Satan deals on a spiritual level all about your relationship with God. He's the accuser of the brethren. If you lose a mother, you lose a father. You lose a mother, father, husband, and wife. And you don't think it was right. You think it was wrong the way it happened. Anything. You lost your job. You lost your income. Anything can happen to you. You've been treated like a dog. You've been run off from your church. Whatever. Let me tell you this. You have a weakened spirit. Amen. And if you don't do something about it soon, Satan will sift you and come in and put a stronghold in your life. And from that strong... Let me tell you what a stronghold is. Back in the 1800s, the military, our forces went west. And they'd build forts. And that fort was where the garrison was stationed. In other words, the troops. It's there where they slept at night. It was there where they ate. There were walls around it. They were safe inside that fort. But from that fort, they could go out on parties. They could go out in reconnaissance. They could do this. They could do that. Then they come back to their fort. That's what a stronghold is. That's what Satan wants to build in your life. He builds strongholds in your life. He establishes himself. And he does it in a lot of different ways. And some people, it's a root of bitterness. I'm going to tell you something, folks. For the last 2 or 3 weeks, Satan's been working me over good. I've been through many a battle with him. And sometimes I marvel at his strength and what he's able to do to somebody. As much as I pray on my knees and seek the face of God, he's still there. He comes back. He may leave a while. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan departed for a season. In plain words, he meant to come back. And that's what he'll do to you. He'll work you over. So what do you do, preacher? Here are the 4 things you do. This is what the Bible says to do. It says to put on the helmet of salvation. So what's that? God tells you how to think. It's how you think. It's how you think. You're thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. What are you watching? Are you watching pornography? Are you watching garbage? Are you watching junk? Junk in, junk out. Do you spend any time in the Word of God? Do you get on your knees and talk to the Lord? Do you try to do something spiritual in your life and counter Satan's attacks? His fiery darts, they call them. As a man thinketh. Thinking. Let me tell you something. If all you do is read garbage, you're going to think garbage. I know some folks, the only thing I'm into this morning and last Wednesday night, I got into all of this technology, all of this stuff going on about what's happening today and about the Antichrist and his mark and his power and his signs and all. I've been dealing with it. But believe me, I will depart from it and leave it behind soon, because I've been down this road before. If all you do is spend your time in conspiracy theories, you are not growing spiritually. I'm not saying to neglect it and abandon it, but I'm telling you that that's not going to do anything for you spiritually. The only thing that will help you spiritually is when the shepherd leads you by the waters and you take a good cool drink of living waters, which is the Word of God. Second thing, the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. What's the breastplate cover? It covers your heart. So what do you mean, preacher? Be careful who you give your heart to. So what do you mean? Be awful careful who you give that heart to. Because if you give your heart out to just anybody, whoever has your heart can stomp on your heart and hurt you worse than anybody on this earth. How many of you agree with that this morning? Watch it. Put a fence about it. I'm not telling you not to love people, but I'm telling you right now, you better have some discernment. I'm not telling you not to fellowship. You need to fellowship. But I'm going to tell you something about love. Love grows. Love is something that you put a seed to, and it grows. And it's nourished, and it's a blessed thing. It's blessed to love and be loved. How many agree with that? It is. It's a blessed thing. You have love for your wife or your husband. That's different from any other love. You have love for your family. That's different from any other love. You have love for your brethren in the church of God, friends, and so forth. It's different from any other love. It really is. If you cannot tell the nuances or the difference in that love, you don't understand what I'm talking about. He said the breastplate of righteousness means you are careful who you give your heart to.
Amen.
And I am. I am. There's a few that have the innermost place in my heart. The innermost place in my heart. And you mess with them and I'll take you down in a heartbeat.
Amen.
Did my preacher say that? In a heartbeat. And there's not a man in this house that wouldn't do the same thing. If you're a man and you know what it is to love somebody, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You better believe it. And then your waist, it's girt about. Loins of truth gird you up. That's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It's good to know the Bible. This is the book. Satan quoted Psalm 91 when he came to the Lord over there in the wilderness. Quoted 91. When you get home this afternoon, read the 91st Psalm. It's a beautiful Psalm. It talks about the protection of God. The whole Psalm is talking about how the Lord protects His people. He watches over them. Then it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear Him. It's a beautiful Psalm. And Satan had read it. And that opens up a thought to me this morning. Blows my mind. How much of the Bible has Satan read? How many of you believe he's read the whole book?
Amen.
He's read every word of it. Why did he do it? Because he knows there's power in it. Because he can use it against you. If you don't understand the Bible you're reading, the context of what you're reading, the why it was written, where it was written, to whom it was written, if you don't understand that, Satan can quote all kinds of scriptures to you to mess your mind up. That's why I'm a dispensationalist. Who's he talking to? Why is he saying this to them? Is he talking to the church of God or the Jew or the Gentile? What period of time was he talking? Is this under the law or the grace of God? You see what I'm saying? These are things that you need to know. That the Bible said, finally, your feet shod. Preparation of the gospel, your feet covered. Your head, your heart, your loins, then your feet. What's that mean? Don't just go anywhere. Be careful where you go. Be awful careful.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go in there and get that bunch saved. You may go in there and that bunch will get you. You need to know. You need wisdom. You need to be careful. There are places that you don't need to see this preacher. I know a preacher one time, he used to go into the bars. I think he was as sincere as he could be. I really do. He went into the bars and he'd go up and witness to the men and women. He'd talk to them about the Lord. I believe he was real. But man, listen. People would see him in that bar, especially younger Christians, and that's all they could handle. Because as far as they were concerned, he was nothing but a lying, hypocritical drunk. What a shame. But you see what's wrong, preacher? He didn't use discernment. There are places you don't need to be. If you go there, you'll destroy the trust that people have in you and your witness and your testimony with them. Christian friend, my dear Christian, please listen to this. This is so important. The greatest thing you have on this earth outside of your salvation is your testimony. And once it's tarnished, it'll never shine as well as it did before. Shine it will. I believe in restoration. Believe me, I do. Amen, amen, amen. But there'll always be those out there who look at you and they'll wonder, well, I wonder if he really did get right.
You're right.
You know, they'll always do that. They'll always do that. Yeah. If you're a mature Christian, if you're mature, you'll see a brother or a sister fall. You'll do everything you can to restore them. You'll pray for them. And then if they do come back and come back to the Lord, you'll be a friend. You'll make sure you're a friend to them. You do everything you can to help them in their walk with God, considering yourself also, because it could happen to any of us. It can. I'm telling you right now, it can. It can happen. I could fall. Let that man think if he standeth, take heed lest he fall. We could all fall. And somebody will bring you back. Somebody will help you. Somebody will stand with you. But there will always be those out there who will never forgive you for what you did. And you'll just have to live with that the rest of your life. That's all. You can't do anything about it. But your fellowship with God can be perfect and pure and clean. And you can walk with the Lord after you've fallen. You can come back and you can walk with God. So be careful where you go. Be careful where your feet take you. Be careful that you don't give Satan a place in your life. Watch out. And see, I'm warning you about this. We're coming up on Samhain. How many of you know what Samhain is? It's a religious holiday for Satanists and witches and warlocks and the rest of them. Careful where you go. Careful what you fantasize about. Be careful who you're talking to. Be careful what you let in your house. Be mighty careful, because this is the devil's hour. He loves it. Be careful with it. Father, in thy name I pray. Bless your holy word this morning. Especially those young ladies that sang. What a blessing they were. Thank you for the sweetness, the freshness. Thank you. There may be somebody in this house today, Lord, who they know that they've given place to the devil. They know they have. And they know he's beginning to work them over. They know he's beating them to death. They know he's dragging them down. I pray they'd come to you, Lord. They come back. They know where to come. They know where to go. If they're born again, they know exactly where to go to. I don't have to tell them that. I wish they would. I wish they'd come back. Come back to the Lord. Come back. Come back. Return to where you started. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed and nobody's eye looking. All eyes are closed. Is anybody in the house today that say, Preacher Lawson, I heard you. I heard you. I heard you. I heard you in a way that I haven't heard anybody in a long time. I heard you. And I want to do something about this. This is enough. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of it. I want to come back to God. I want to come back to him this morning, right now. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher? Nobody's going to drag you off anywhere. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, raise your hand and say, I want to come back to the Lord. I'm tired of being miserable. God bless you. God bless that hand right there. I'm tired of being miserable. God bless you back there. There's another hand. Amen. Anybody else, raise your hand. I'm sick and tired of being miserable. I know, and I'll tell you something. There's nobody in the world more miserable than a Christian who knows what joy is. An unsaved man has no idea what joy is. But if you're a Christian and you know what joy is, that's the most misery in the world, is to not have that joy. Father, bless them. I'm here, Lord, to help. I'm not here to hurt. In thy holy name, amen.